Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yo, what is going on, and welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, a beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I am Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com. Julio Matarosa to my left.
Boom.
What's going on, Julio?
It's boys' night, baby!
Boys' night, kind of throwback vibes going on right now. Just Julio and I, Bridget Flores not here. But this is just, you know, just throwing it back to what, like 2022,
we just hanging out, having a few beers.
Yeah.
Had a few shots before. This is real throwback.
Right, this is real throwback hours. And one thing that, like, I mean, you see, like, throwback to 2022. That doesn't seem like that long ago, but, I mean, like, bro, that was kind of, like, a long time ago. I mean, when you think about
COVID,
you know,
was
new,
still here.
New studio, you know, we're not golfing before the podcast anymore.
We should, though.
We should be, but, you know.
You got to get a priority straight.
Yeah, we got to find a new studio that's like, within, like, a five-minute a drive from a golf course.
Just tell this person to throw a simulator in here and call it a day.
I mean, this place is built for a simulator. I think we can probably have that set up. But
back in the budget cost for 2025.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll put that into action. But we'll put that right under the soundboard. You know, we got a lot to talk about today. It's you know, a solo episode, just Julio and I. I want to start with the Angel City FC stuff, because, you know, that made some waves last week. Julio, I won't bore you with the details, but Paige
Nielsen.
Okay, all right, yeah. Amandine Henry.
They got traded. Paige for $100,000, $50 going somewhere, allocation money, another $50 going on, I believe, future transfer fee. And then the French national got,
yeah.
Hey, see me now.
Okay, I know. I saw you had your little, yeah, your little note card.
$75,000 went, so they would have $175,000, two players for a G-Wagon. Angel City did put out an official statement saying they did it because, first of all, thanking the players for, one, playing 43 games, over 3,000 minutes with us.
Yeah.
Ooh, you like that. You like that. Another playing like 53 games, something like that.
He's just regurgitating, yeah, bro. Like, come on.
Hey, no, but they said it is because they want to make moves now.
Right.
So they're trying to open up cap space. So
yeah.
Hopefully they do something because the team is not looking good.
Yeah. Let's talk about first, before we get into what comes next. Let's talk about Paige Nielsen and Amandine Henry, the two players, you know, two starters. I think that would start pretty much anywhere that they go. Paige going to Houston, Amandine going to Utah.
Rumor has it that Paige came to the pod to something wild, so they had to trade.
Yeah. It could be that. Maybe she was a little too candid on the podcast, and Angel City saw it, and they said, you know, we got to get her out of here. But, you know, she was awesome. She was great to talk to.
Yeah.
She was super down to earth, super fun, super friendly. I think her vibe, you know, she really vibed with the teammates. She loved it in LA, from what it seemed like. You know, she was kind of, she mentioned it on the podcast, how she felt welcome here, you know, compared to the other places that she played. But, you know, I'm rooting for Paige because she's a great player. A little bit shocked. I was very shocked to hear the news because, you know, I mean, Paige and Amandine are probably two of the, you know, five, six best players on the team. They're, you know, everyday starters. And to be going for cash, like, you know, it's not an instant. We don't get that instant gratification of, okay, we get this player here, I'm excited to see her play. You know, a lot of people are talking about clearing up space Kristen Press to come back.
That's crazy.
I know, that is crazy. But I would hope that it's for, I mean, because obviously Kristen Press commands a lot of salary, and we need to clear space for her to come back off of the season-ending injury list. But
I apologize, we take some shots before the
Yeah,
pod.
Seriously.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow all your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
But I would hope that there would be more, we get more than just Kristen. Though we're clearing up two players, the salary of those two players plus the $175K that we're getting in. Hopefully that's for Kristen and somebody else. I know that the trade deadline closed, but that'll open up back in the summer. So, you know, it's I want to say that I you know, I'm going to give the team the benefit of the doubt, the front office the benefit of the doubt. But I
historically,
mean, like,
they have not been the best front office in NWSL.
In terms of business strategy, marketing, all that, they're great. They have a lot of experience in that. But I think the soccer side of things, they're still getting used to it. I think they've made a couple of good moves. They've made a couple of really good signings, smart signings. But for the most part, it's been a lot of head scratching stuff. So we'll see where this goes. It's just. They won their first game without, you know, after the trade. It was not a very pretty game. It was, you know, they played North Carolina. I think the expected goals was like 2-0.4, something like that. I mean, they got two really good goals from Claire Emsley. So, I mean, I was shocked. I was a little bit disappointed. You know, obviously, you know, Paige was a fan favorite. Amandine Henry, you know, French national, like a huge pedigree. Yeah. So she won a bunch of Champions Leagues with Lyon. I mean, she has a lot of experience and wealth in maybe wasn't the right fit with Angel City and Becky Tweed's system, but still, like, you want players like that.
I know, but the thing is with players like that, if you go from a winning program to a losing program, it's not going to be fun for you.
Sure.
So you never know how it was behind the scenes. You could be the best teammate in front of the cameras, but knowing a player that's used to winning not only one title but multiple titles, especially the highest level titles in Europe and in the world, the Champions League, you come into a team that is just like performing subpar, you're going to get upset.
That could be it.
You're going to get emotional. You're going to say things that you regret. Hopefully she didn't say anything that...
Now you're just throwing stuff out there. That's crazy.
I'm just saying though. Like, I'm thinking about myself. Like, if I go from a winning team to a losing team, I'm going to be upset. I'm not going to be the best teammate. I won't be mad at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that was the case. It doesn't seem like it was. But,
probably.
You know, that could
allegedly
have been. it certainly could have been. But best of luck to her in Utah. I mean, going to Utah is crazy. I mean, no disrespect to Utah, but, like, you know, you're playing in France. You're one of the best on one of the best women's soccer teams in the entire world in Lyon. Come to Angel City.
Great
you're
city.
In LA. You're still in LA. You know, you're the team. I mean, I think when she came, the team started playing a little bit better. They made that run in the second half of last season. She really filled in for Julie Ertz after Julie Ertz stepped back after the World Cup. I don't think she was deployed in the best fit for her, like, as a player. But, I mean, I would take her out of her role, you know, someone as good as her not playing necessarily in the best position for her or the best role for her than, you know, somebody else. You know, it's just, I don't know. But best of luck to them. I'm excited to see, or I'm curious to see what Angel City has moving forward. I thought Sarah Gordon, another, you know, former podcast guest, had you know, because after the trade was announced, a lot of fans were obviously upset. They were dismayed. You know, they see, you know, Paige, especially with Paige, she's ingrained herself with the fan base as, you know, somebody who was, you know, like, very connected with the fans. She had a big connection with her personality. You know, she always made time for them after the game. She was signing autographs. And maybe some fans felt a little bit irked by that, and they were saying some stuff about some of the other players on Angel City. And I thought Sarah Gordon had a fair response, saying that, you know, basically along the lines of, you know, we're here for the fans that rock with us. And, you know, after that win, she said... You know, that win was for the fans that are with us, that are rooting for the 26 players that we have on the roster that are not, you know, going to flip on us if you know, the front office decides to make a decision. So I thought that was good, a good message from, you know, she's been captaining the side for the last couple matches with Ali Riley not playing. So I think seeing that from Sarah is reassuring, but I don't know, man. It's still early in the season. They have a two-game winning streak, so they play Kansas City, who's the best team in the league, on Friday. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But you know, it's a long season. So I mean, I'm curious to see how.
Yeah, like, my Sarah might have meant, because some of the players probably weren't saying, "Hey, now I'm joking." But, like, no, but true. Like, if you're gonna support a team, if you're gonna be a fan, good times, bad times. Even when it comes to LAFC, LAFC had a bad season. It was like, ah, this team. And then the following season, they followed it up with a championship. So at the end of the day, like, stick strong. Things can change, especially with the Angel City FC comment. We're making these trades because we want to make big signings in the next few months or in the near future. So with that statement, they're saying we're letting go of these players, but we got something up our sleeves.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like, they don't disappoint again. And they make some stuff happen.
Yeah, and another thing people were talking about was that, you know, when Angel City was first started and they had Ennio Luca as their GM, there was a policy that they enacted saying that we were not going to trade any of the players that we have on our original roster without their approval. And, you know, after that first year, you know, Ennio Luca obviously is not with the team anymore. So that's not a policy still in, still being enforced. So, you know, obviously that's why the players were traded. But now, I mean, people are saying like, oh, you know, you said that you were going to be better. You know, you positioned yourself as a team that was going to treat your players less as, you know, commodities. But, I mean, that's the reality of sports.
If you want to win.
Right, and a lot of times the players that you have here on the roster, they're not the right players for you. So I mean, it makes sense. You know, I like the idea of that. Of we're not gonna uproot a player in the middle of the season, make them move across the country, try to figure out, you know, especially if they have kids, try to figure out that whole situation, or if they have families, try to figure out that whole situation. But I mean, that's like a sunshine and rainbows thing. That's like, you know, in a perfect world, obviously that would be. A great thing, but you know, this is the reality is, like, is that sometimes it's not always going to work out like that.
Yeah, I seen a few games and like, I don't know, they even have an identity in the field. Like they play one way, but it seems like the players do not fit that tactics they want to play. Like,
yeah,
they overly touch the ball. They do great going forward, and when once they get in the front of the 18 box, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this a little bit when Jessica Black was on the show a few weeks ago when we were talking about the NWSL season. The off the pitch identity, the brand identity of Angel City FC is very clear.
Set, yeah.
It's crystal clear. Like, you know, the things
I've
seen that
they so many
stand
moms
for,
drunk at the game.
You know, the branding, the you know, the people that they work with. You know, they give back 10% of their sponsorship to causes.
They're on the streets for sure.
Yeah, but when it comes to the football side of things, the soccer side of things, it's a learning process, because I think, you know, they talked about building this team as like a tech startup, and from a business perspective, they're doing some good things. It seems like they have a sustainable model going forward. You know, I saw something saying that they're the most like Google search team across the country, which is cool, but at the end of the day, you're a sports team, and fans are gonna love the vibes. They're gonna hang out for a little bit, but after a certain amount of time, you know, last year they made the playoffs. This year, the goal is to improve on last year. So get out of the first round. If the bar doesn't keep rising, and if it feels like it starts stagnating, you're gonna start getting a little bit of impatience from the fans. So
yeah.
I don't know, like, what. Well, It's a learning process, right? Because a lot of the even the football side of things, you know, like Angela Hughes is the GM. She was not originally brought on as the GM. I don't think she has GM experience before this. I spoke with her for a story on the site a few years ago. She's very smart. She has a great soccer pedigree, Olympic medalist. She played with the U.S. Women's National Team. You know, she has a lot of soccer background and a very like unquestionable soccer pedigree. It's just. Being a GM of a team,
you gotta know salary cap.
I mean, but you need to know a lot of things. Like, you can't just jump into it, you know. So I'm gonna give her some time. I think it's like you have to, like, as a fan, you have like so you're so one track minded of things. It's like results or get rid of the coach, or results or get rid of the front office, you know. But this is gonna be
it's
been 3 years, which seems like a long time, but really isn't. So. I think this team needs a little bit more time to figure out themselves from a soccer perspective.
They're looking for a splash signing.
Yeah.
And like some results in the field.
Yeah.
You can't win ugly games and be like, oh my God, look at our team. We won a game. When it's like, you guys won because the other team played so bad.
Sure, but
it ain't because you guys did great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, wins are wins, especially in the NWSL. Yeah. Everything is super, like, you know, jam-packed. You know, across the league, the parity is that's one of the, you know, strong points of the league. So we'll take as many wins as we can, but I agree with what you say. Like, ugly wins are not sustainable. Like, yeah. they'll happen. You'll take them as they come, but that can't be your strategy. Your strategy cannot be, you know, we're going to poach a couple goals, smash and grab, and then just hold on, you know, white knuckle it for the last 15 minutes of the game. That's not a sustainable practice, like, no matter who you have on your team. So, interested to see what comes next from Angel City. You know, Kristen Press, I'm excited to see her come back. Maybe another a splash signing, hopefully in the summer window. But
Press has somebody in the house that lives with her. That can come too.
Yeah, you were talking about
at the end of the day, like, if we're not gonna win, might as well give it another chance. Bring her with the girl that she lives with.
I don't know. So you're talking about obviously Tobin Heath, who has not played since I think she got hurt with Arsenal.
Yeah,
she hurt, got maybe, I don't know if that was 2022 or 2023. I think it might have been 2022. She might have tore her ACL as well when she was playing in Arsenal. Obviously, I love the way she plays. I love her game. She's got sauce. She's got, you know, mad skills.
But there's two players in the wing, sisters.
Yeah,
that can, and we already some have great mentorship.
Okay.
From a player. See, come on now. I'm just saying. Think about it.
Yeah. It would be from a marketing perspective. I think from that would you know,
and
sell
that
a bunch
team
of
already a good marketing team.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know how much soccer Tobin has left in the tank. It seems like she's enjoying her life right now, the way it is. But I would embrace it. I wouldn't get mad at it. I would get mad at it if she wasn't up to play. If she was there as like a Calvin Cambridge
or like Rapinoe in the World Cup.
Exactly. You know, we're here to you know, get some people in the seats, get the team or get fans excited for the team again, and you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I'll be there in that game.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm sure you will. So let's move on.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money at
Menards. There's other stuff going on. You know, speaking of the summer, speaking of injuries, Sergiño Dest. Reports that he might have torn his ACL himself training with PSV.
Yeah, they didn't say what it was.
Yeah, severe knee injury, right? Severe knee injury. So, you know, it could. I mean, regardless of what it is, it looks like he will be missing the rest of the season for PSV, but more importantly for US Men's National Team fans, he'll be out for the Copa America that's coming to the US this summer. Obviously, you know, one of the most anticipated tournaments, probably since the 2022 World Cup. You know, this is not only going to be played in the U.S., but we're going to be facing, you know, our group, you know, with Uruguay, Ecuador, and I think Bolivia is the last one. So, I mean, not an easy group by any means. A lot of, you know, delusional U.S. men's national team soccer fans are obviously saying that not only do we have a chance to win it, but we have to make the semis for this to be a successful run, which I don't fully disagree with in terms of reaching the semis, but I don't think that's where the bar should be set. I think, you know, as long as they're competitive against some of these big South American teams, that's going to be a promising step forward. But what are your thoughts, Julio, on the whole Sergiño Dest?
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, our depth chart on the back. So Anthony Robinson on one side, balling for Fulham. Mm-hmm. Reem balling as well. Chris Richardson, yeah, another baller. Yeah. And then we got Sergiño Dest. A backup, Joe Scally.
Scally. Yeah.
He didn't convince me in the World Cup. Shaq Moore, he came in during the World Cup and apologized for like four plays that he messed up.
Yeah, I don't even think Shaq Moore's in the rotation.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeldon, he's already in the tail end of his career.
Yedlin's not in the rotation.
Young player like Reggie Cannon, probably.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name for that plays for the team? Vinicius? No, not Vinicius.
Venezia. There's Buzio and Buzio. There's the other guy. Tillman?
Buzio.
Not Tillman. Buzio. Buzio's midfield, though, isn't he?
No, he's an outside back, I believe.
I thought he was midfield.
So, trying to see, like, yeah, there's no real depth. They're going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Because during the last tournament, They sacrificed McKinney to play outside back. Mm-hmm. As you remember, when Des was out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and he did not look good.
That's not his position.
That's not his position. Yeah. So it's gonna be hard just because of the back. But we do have a lot of young players, and a year can make a big difference, especially for a player. Like if you're playing good, you play with some little bit of confidence, then you're good. DeJuan
Jones could be. He could be. That's a fringe. That's like very fringe. I love.
He's
DeJuan.
On the outside looking in.
I mean, I feel like the MLS guys are like kind of on the outside looking in. But yeah, in terms of that's not a position that we're particularly deep in.
Because Reggie's with Roma.
Yeah. And you know, like I just he seems like he is a big part of the team, like in the clubhouse.
He is.
Like, you know, like it seems like he plays with a lot of fire. He plays a lot of intensity. I think his form, he was playing very well. He was playing like, you know, in the last set of, was it friend? When were they playing? The Nations League? Was it Nations League? Yeah. He played amazing. He had a couple runs where it was like, wow, this kid, like he's it, you know, this is the guy played on Barcelona,
team.
Played on AC Milan, that, you know, that had this, all this potential that people were talking about that you didn't really see fully formed, and it looked like he was coming into that, which makes this a little bit more tough.
Because he was having, like, after he left Barcelona, like, confidence was down, came to the U.S., played three heck of a games, and then went back to his club and started balling out again.
Right, yeah.
So it's a kid that was he was going to do big things, especially
–
the outside left back is going to really hurt, because I don't think we have any real, like, left backs in the U.S. pool right now.
I think Joe Scalley is gonna have to step up, and I haven't seen anything from him to indicate to me that this is okay. This is not like a replacement level player.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
this is a big drop off.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, this kind of brings up the whole thing of why can't American soccer players stay healthy? Whether it's Christian Pulisic, you know, Gio Reyna, like. Our top players, it seems like, you know, I feel like Tim Weah is hurt half the time. Like, Weston McKennie was dealing with stuff. Tyler Adams, like, you know, like, all these players are, I feel like, just aren't able to be on the field half of the time. I don't know. Is it an American thing? Is it a bad luck? Is it coincidence? Like, do you have any thoughts on that?
I honestly don't know, because, like, they're playing, when they play in Europe, they play in great fields. When they play CONCACAF.
But not all of them are getting hurt. When they're playing in Honduras, or they're playing in El Salvador, or they're playing on, you know, Trinidad on these tougher conditions, they're getting hurt with their club teams in these pristine, you know, top level, state of the art facilities.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what it is. Probably the way we bring them up playing in turfs as kids, that can make.
I'm not ruling that out. Yeah. I don't know. I truly do not know what it is. If it's the way that, you know, they're working out, if it's the way that, you know, they're in the weight room, or what. Like, you know, Tim Ream, I feel like, is rock steady. He's been there. But from besides that, like, I can't think of another player who's just been like, we can count on this guy to stay healthy. Or, you know, Kellen Acosta is one guy. But
he got hurt.
After the World Cup.
After he played, like, a lot of minutes, his body was set to get a little injury. But,
It could be that. It could be this happens across the board in all of soccer. But the injuries to American players are more severe because we don't have the depth that, you know, like a top level nation
would. Definitely. I will agree with
because,
that.
Because, I mean, like, you look at France at the last World Cup, they had a bunch of injuries going into it. But the difference between us and France is France has like four other guys that can fill in the spot of, you know, N'Golo Kante or a Pogba that were injured. You know what I mean?
I'll disagree because during the Nations League, the U.S. coach's name, I'm throwing blanks as well.
Coach? Berhalter?
Yeah. Berhalter, like, he got a lot of flags because Tyler Adams wanted to play. He's like, no, you're playing 60 minutes because that's what your team said. And then even though the player was mad, all the fans were like, how are you going to take this player that's doing good? But after 60 minutes, he took him out. So I don't know if it's that because we do listen to what the team says. And I saw a lot of...
That's not what I was saying that... we don't have the depth.
Yeah.
So like it's not that we have to play these guys for 90 minutes. Is that if they get hurt for some like freak injury, then Tyler Adams going out hurts us way more than N'Golo Kanté getting hurt for France.
Yeah, definitely.
Or you know,
they have like, more of a depth chart.
Yeah. Or Lucas Hernandez, or was it Taylor Luke? I don't remember who got hurt in that first game. But they brought in the brother, and their brother like balled out. You know. So like.
We probably have a good 22 roster, and that's it.
Yeah,
we don't have nothing more than that.
We have a solid, you know, I don't even 14. Know 22, like maybe 15 guys that we can put out there that I'm confident in.
And they're mostly forwards.
And a lot of them are forwards. A lot
attacking
of them
are, players.
Yeah. The when it comes to the back, and you know, like we saw Miles Robinson go out with an Achilles injury. You know, the depth isn't, you know, Jalen Neal was hurt for a while.
He's on the way back.
Yeah. So
I hope he does make the national team because I think he's a stud.
Yeah.
But you never know how a young player is going to come back after an injury. So,
yeah, I mean, young, it's just tough to see because, I like watching this team play and I want to see a fully healthy side play in a big tournament. And this summer was a chance at that, and now we probably aren't going to see that. But what are your expectations? What do you think is you know, looking ahead to the
Copa out of the America? Group? Probably win the first game out of the group.
First game out of the group is going to be tough.
Yeah,
it's either going to be it's likely going to be Colombia or Brazil, depending on where we finish.
I feel like we can take Colombia on.
Yeah,
Colombia doesn't seem as strong as most.
They're not as strong as they have
other,
been
other
in,
years.
Brazil
look like.
But if we finish, if we don't finish in first, and Brazil finish, if we finish in second, and Brazil finishes in first, we play Brazil in the
yeah, we're not beating Brazil. Brazil,
you know,
but that them outside, wings,
yeah,
Vinicius, yeah. Rodrigo, they still have an Enrico, which is 16 years old,
yeah,
baller,
and he's I feel like this is gonna be his like coming out party,
yeah, like
he already had it like
Ronaldo R9's like. 94 World Cup,
yeah,
basically
yeah,
for him.
Yeah. This is
he's crazy.
Because I mean, he scored. Was that his first goal the other week when he was playing with?
He scored England. His first goal, and then the following game he scored another goal. Yeah. So.
And is he with Real Madrid already?
No. So once he turns 18,
confirmed yet, right?
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Once he turns 18, he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
Imagine like those three wings playing the same team. Supposedly Mbappe is going to like. Who's going to beat Real Madrid on the outside?
Yeah, I mean, did you see Mbappe's assist from the other day?
When he did tap,
yeah, he absolutely did.
Oh, my God.
Is he going to win the Ballon d'Or this year? Like, who's going to win the Ballon d'Or?
They can't give it to Messi no more.
Dude, he's like, in the favorites to win. Like, how is that even possible? That's crazy. It's definitely not going to be him. You know, you got Jude Bellingham. You got
Jude Bellingham. Bellingham, he should be a – contender, Bellingham, Mbappe, Haaland.
I feel like Haaland took a step back from. I mean, if Haaland didn't win it last year, I don't know how he can win.
Didn't win Champions this year, so it's gonna be hard for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he didn't win. Yeah, and last year he won Champions League. Yeah. He scored what like 80 goals. Like,
but you gotta give the World Cup guy the Ballon d'Or.
Sure. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying he didn't win it last year. I don't see how he would win it. This year, you know, but yeah, it's back to Copa America. If we play Uruguay, I think that game is going to be in the group stage. If we are competitive with them, regardless if we win, draw, or lose, that's going to be the measuring stick for me personally.
Uruguay actually have though?
I mean, they have Valverde. They have. What's his name? Araujo. They have Darwin Nunez. Suarez.
I forgot about Darwin Nunez.
Yeah,
no, Suarez is taking
there.
A step back.
No, Suarez is still there, but you know, what's his name? The other dude plays for in Portugal. I don't remember. But
yeah, no,
they have a strong set. They have a strong team.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good game.
Yeah.
How can we stop Darwin? Because Darwin takes off.
Yeah.
We have a slow back line. And that's our Achilles heel.
We have size to keep up with them, but we don't have the speed.
We'll win every ball in the air, but once they give through balls, our Achilles heel is through balls through our back.
Yeah.
We don't know how to stop those.
Yeah.
That's why Sergiño Dest is so important.
Yeah,
because he brings speed.
He brings that the shiftiness. Maybe even playing, because I mean Tim Way has been playing right back for his club. Maybe putting him back there.
But yeah.
That could be a.
Who's gonna be another outside wing that's as effective as him?
I mean, on the wings we have a little bit more depth because you know we could put Reyna out there.
Yeah, because Reyna doesn't start. Reyna.
Right.
They should start starting him. He can be a difference maker.
Exactly. So if we could put him in Pulisic, and then you know somebody in the middle, whether it's
a Tyler Adams and a McKinney.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be an uphill battle for sure. And I'm not thrilled for our chances, especially with Dest. I mean, before even with Dest, at best we're getting out of the first round. You know. Maybe making it to the semifinals, playing, you know, one of the top four teams in South America. But I don't know what our chances are now. Hopefully we can still be competitive.
And definitely.
That's all I'm hoping for now. Because this team is not getting any younger. You know, we all say that they're young. Right now is the point. This is the point where they're all starting to kind of turn to those mid, late 20s where you're starting to hit your primes. And this is not any longer, like, you know, Kelvin Loyola on our site, he said, this is no longer the team of tomorrow. This is the team of today.
Yeah.
So I think that this is going to be a big challenge for us that I think even maybe possibly without Sergiño Dest there, like, we could – this will build character going into 2026.
And the pool of players is not the same. Like, I remember, like, we used to talk about, like, this player going. I don't hear that as much. Players going to Europe at a frequent rate.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys. I mean, Austin Trusty was one of them. He's kind of been up and down.
What's that guy named from DC United that went to Wolfsburg? Reyes, a light-skinned kid.
I don't know.
Yeah, he went from DC United to Wolfsburg. Okay. He did great in the under-21s, but his outside bat.
Yeah.
That's the outside wing, so as a winger. But I feel like he will be great as the outside back, too. And I believe he's a lefty, too. So we do have some, like, sleeper names that they could surprise if they get called up. But I feel like Bill Hartzell already has his.
He's got his name.
Yeah, set. And he always likes bringing two MLS players for what? Don't get it.
Yeah. I feel like also the crop of potential MLS guys has gotten weaker now that we don't have. I mean, they're still, speaking of weaker, we have Walker Zimmerman. Still,
that's funny.
Yeah, you know, but like Kellen, I feel like Kellen's window is maybe closed.
There's too much depth in that defensive. Now that Tyler Adams is back,
too much. So I don't know who, like, MLS wise is gonna get that call up.
There's a few names, but
yeah,
It's hard. I'm trying to think of, like, a name that is outstanding right now in MLS. I've been watching MLS trying to figure it out, and there's just too much. The top talent is way too strong for MLS people to come in and make a difference or come in and play.
Right. And then, I mean, like, Brandon Vasquez is now in Mexico.
Monterrey.
Shout
out to the Columbus Crew.
Yeah, Columbus Crew.
Beat him 2-1.
Yeah. First leg, so nothing set in stone yet. But
still got to go to Mexico.
Still got to go to Mexico. It's not easy to win there, but they did look good. They outplayed Monterrey that whole game. So shouts to them. I'm excited for the Champions Cup.
Talking about MLS, how do you feel like that Galaxy run right now going?
They look scary, man. They look scary. That Cali Clásico was a barn burner. That was that was exciting.
Ricky's,
you
know, balling out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
The back line of Galaxy looks great. Their wings are freaking dynamic and fast as. Fastest boy. They just look strong all around.
Yeah, they look like.
Shout out to Williams. Like, hey, I should thank LAC for letting him go and giving him to you guys.
Yeah. that's you. I think you've said that guy's name every single time we talk about the guy.
Because he
came from LAFC.
Bro, it's because he gave. People don't realize how much. I said when he first let go, like, when first left, I said in the podcast, William is going to make
true.
This team a different team. They were like, nah. A lot of Galaxy fans laughed at me saying, it's not going to happen. What is he going to do?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the signings that he made in the offseason.
And then you have a lot of rumors that are in the table right now for the summer to come in the Galaxy, and you're like, yeah, if they do this, like, hey, Miami, sorry, Galaxy's taking this cut. Yeah. First
yeah.
to six.
Yeah. I think Miami's looked okay. They've gotten lucky a little bit here and there. They're leading the sports.
They're the Lakers race. They're the Lakers of the MLS.
Don't talk to me about the Lakers. But yeah, I think in terms of favorites this year, Galaxy, like,
they stamped their name there.
They, like, every time I watch them play, it's been like, yo, this team looks scary.
But something we learned about MLS is
anything can happen.
That summer transfer changes a lot of teams' outcomes.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that stay strong in the beginning of the season, once that summer hits, things change.
I mean, take a look at LAFC last year. Last year, LAFC threw like the first 10, 12, 15 games. Like, they look unbeatable. I was like, this is the best team that I've ever seen.
And then they let go like five players
yep,
in.
Yep, yeah. And then
they still made it to the finals.
Right, and they still made it to the finals. So, we can talk all we want. We can speculate all we want about MLS in the end.
No, but Galaxy
yeah.
right now, if I put my money on a team right now to win it all, I'll go Galaxy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. That's not a bad bet. That's not a bad
They only had lost one game, and then they balled out every other game. Like, yeah. They're in first place for a reason.
Yeah,
shout out to all you guys that sent me DMs because I went to the game on the weekend talking mass. I'm like, dude, I'm out here supporting y'all.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah, He's a supporter. He's an LA guy.
I wanted to see what this Cali Classico was about.
Yeah.
And the vibes. What vibes were there?
Yeah. Speaking of LA guys, LA guy is embroiled in a little bit of a beef right now with our guy Kendrick Lamar and Drake. If you guys have been under a rock for the past month, they've been going at it back and forth. What's your whole take on the rap beef of things? Because this is something that we haven't had a chance to talk about over the last few weeks. I mean, we've been talking about it outside of the podcast, but you know, we've had a lot of illustrious guests on. We've had a couple of we've only had one solo episode where we're mostly focused on the El Tráfico match. So now that we are in this space, we have the time to talk about it. I wanted to have a chance to kind of air out our thoughts. What's your thoughts?
So, all right, first of all, Drake, freaking hilarious.
Yeah, okay.
He's poking. He's like, hey, all right, you've been sub-tweeting me, sub-dissing me for the last 10 years. Here's one. Oh, he didn't respond. Hey, while we wait, here's another one. But
second one is trash.
Out of both, even though, like, he said K-Dot's name, one verse Steel is better than both of those songs.
That's true. Like that verse.
Bum.
I think the only thing that you can kind of compare it to is the control verse.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like kind of like waking up everybody and being like, yo, what?
Once
is
he said,
going
"Mother
on?
Big Three's only big me."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then J. Cole had to.
J. Cole, I like J. Cole's this though.
Completely like, but I mean, yeah, you might have liked it, but like it's worth nothing now.
I was ready for that too to go at it.
Yeah,
because J. Cole's one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, but I think J. Cole, like, he was in it for the sport.
But then he saw how serious it could get,
and then he was like, you know what? Like, what am I doing? Because him and K-Dot go back.
Yeah,
like, you know, like there's this whole thing about them having
a whole album together, and then he went with Drake.
He's produced multiple songs for him, and I think he realized what he was getting himself into. He called to Pimp a Butterfly trash, and he was like, you know what? But the more telling thing was that all the J. Cole stans were coming out here. It's like, yeah, thank God somebody said it. And it's like, dude, do you know how smooth brained you need to be to listen to Pimp a Butterfly and be like, yo, this is boring, bro.
If you would have said damn, I'm like, oh, I'm like,
right,
maybe,
yeah,
but
right.
No, to people, but you,
that's yeah.
Come
you,
on,
you
that's,
have to
that's
be
classic.
You have to be completely smooth-brained and completely
that's
like
blueprint-esque. Yeah. Like,
it's the best album to come out in the last decade. It's the best album that has come out in rap since.
But I respected it because he went for the best album out of all the albums. To, like,
yeah, but then he called it like of all the things to say. He goes, it's boring. Like,
but whatever. But like, I get it because a lot of like the little mumble rappers are like. You're right.
Right.
It was too rapid for me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But
you're telling on yourself if that's what you think.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'll go home and play that whole album and probably not go home. Go straight to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But I think, like you said, that one verse from Kendrick. I like push-ups. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm I think I've said this multiple times on the podcast, though. I'm not the biggest fan of Drake from a music perspective. I think he has got some great songs. I have a lot of respect for how he's been able to stay, like, maintain his popularity. I think the fan base he has built, like, is insane.
Light skins.
There, and you've seen this, like, the stretches that they're making. It's like he is rap's Taylor Swift. In that sense, you know,
definitely. So, but I like Quavo's and Chris Brown's beef way more.
That's more toxic.
I love it. Like, they talk about each other's girl. Yeah. Sweetie had the response saying, "I hope that model that you can make like me responds to you."
That's the undercard.
Man, it's two lightweights, no defense, all swungs, swinging each other, just like out of control.
They're the hungry. Contenders.
This is a boxing match in Tijuana.
Yeah.
Both Mexicans just going straight forward.
I'm gonna be like completely honest. I'm not like as invested in this. I think it's fun. I think it's cool. I'm not like on the team, you know, you gotta respond. Like, you know, Kendrick, come on, respond, this and that. I think it's good. You know, entertainment, it provides good stuff. But at the end of the day, like, this is not gonna determine any legacies.
Pusha was hilarious. He said, "You gotta do a quintuple entendre, something I don't even know about."
Dude, the Pusha T, that is the story of Adidon is the best. Yeah, I know,
Pusha, what was Drake's song called?
Which one? The
the first Drake diss.
Duppy,
whatever. Sorry, Duppy.
Oh, wait, which one?
The first one they came out when he said,
like, for Kendrick or
So the first Drake diss when he was like, "How can you be a big stepper in the size 7?
That's push-ups. Yeah.
Push-ups. All right, yeah. Then he says you gotta do a quintuple entendre, something I don't even know exists. Uh-huh. Like, so I'm waiting. Like, Drake is hilarious. Like, if you can see it from like his ESPN when he hosts.
He's a funny guy.
He's a hilarious guy.
Yeah. He's very like and witty does with that. I feel like when he embraces that side of himself. That's the best version of him. When he tries to be this like, "Oh yeah, I'm the Toronto underworld like kingpin, like, you know, don't mess with me.
I have Jamaican accent."
Yeah, that stuff to me is just incredibly corny, and like you can see right through it. And dude, just be goofy. He's a goofy guy.
I feel like Kendrick has to respond, cuz I'm not going to lie. It was a lot of LA people talking shit. And we were happy about it. Like, that's LA. We don't care about nobody. That's LA. And then like all of a sudden, like, we don't respond. I'm saying as a whole LA, we don't respond. And it's like one verse. You see how hurt he got for one verse. No, I need a whole song of just a lot of goofies with a check on. Like,
when I don't disagree with you, but I will say this: Kendrick is—he doesn't need to respond. He does not need to respond because of everything else that he's done before in his career. He's certified. He's stamped. He is. There's nothing he can. There's like, if he could stop rapping forever, and he would still be one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, but he said Prince outlived Michael Jack, and there's a story online that I watch it every single time, makes me laugh. A story about how Michael Jackson and Prince one time were in the same room, and
they hated each other,
and they got in a fight.
They hated each other.
So, hey, let's keep it Thriller and Purple Rain, and just let's go. I want to see this.
So Prince, I think I agree with that comparison of Drake being more Michael Jackson. Yeah. I don't think Drake is as, you know, he doesn't have the raw talent that Michael Jackson had. But you look at Michael Jackson had, you know, plenty of writers for his songs.
He kicked it with the Crips too, though.
He had, you know, he enjoyed the presence of younger people. he was a big into pop. Like, he's a pop star, the king of pop. I think Drake is that. And then you look at Kendrick is the more kind of like misunderstood, quote in quotes.
He has to come up with something
from an artist's perspective. He's the artist's artist. That's what Prince was. You know, Prince was, he didn't give, he really did not care about the
blouses.
Whole, yeah, game. And he can hoop. I don't know if Kendrick can hoop, but I think that, you know, it's an apt comparison, and I think that a lot of people are saying, well, MJ's way better than Prince. Like, that you're just telling yourself again. You're just telling yourself on yourself again. You're a Drake fan, like, whatever. You enjoy that kind of music, fine, whatever. Do you. Like, enjoy your life in blissful ignorance. Like, that's fine. That's great for you.
I need Prince's Revenge. I want the song to be called
I would very much enjoy for him to come back, and there's, like, rumors of snippets being
everybody
leaked out.
Everybody from DJ had, like, a prominent LA DJs. And then Drake is hilarious. And he goes, still waiting.
Yeah.
Like,
Drake, you took a whole month to make those two, like, mediocre songs, like, both combined. The first one was okay. The second one with AI, AI Tupac, I could not get
and
through
Snoop Dogg, and Snoop Dogg, I have to say,
I cannot get through that. I cannot get through the Drake's, like, tempo in Tupac's voice. I couldn't do it. Yeah. It was unlistenable. And then, like, I forced myself to get through it, and it's like, dude, this is what you're doing? Like, come on. But
he was just poking fun of it. He said, right here while we wait. So I don't know. It's starting to die down, but I'm hopefully when it dies down, Kendrick comes with, like,
he's gonna come back.
Prince's Revenge.
He's going to come back. He's going to come
and
back.
And just triple, quadruple entendres, stuff that we don't even know that we have to hear seven times. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He talked about your baby mama. Being a world stop dancer.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But we're running low on time. Is there anything else that you wanted to get out there before we wrap?
Nah, come on. Come on, Kendrick. I need this.
And AI, stop using AI. Stop using AI music.
Not at all. Like, I use AI at work all the time.
You're supposed to use AI for emails and Photoshop. That's it. That's the only...
Shout out to AI.
That's the only good use for AI. But I can't deal with another AI track coming out. Stop doing that. It's not meant to be for creative stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can tell when, like, I don't know what it is, when something without a soul made a song or made, like, a piece of art.
Yeah, I hate ginger music.
You know? Hey, come on, man. Come on. Shouts to all the gingers out there.
They have no souls.
Don't listen to what this guy's saying. That joke is from 2010. and I think that's...
It kills me anytime. Let's wrap this up.
I think that's where we're at right now. So this has been another episode of the Urban Bitch Podcast, the Beautiful Game of Life, part of the Believe Network. Keep it tapped in. We got more episodes coming to you in the future. But until then, for Julio Monteros, I'm Ramsey Abushala. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.